ladies and gentlemen, this is the XFL.
There's a new spring league coming into, well, it's not just coming into, it's here. The XFL is back, and it's in full swing effect. And XFL games were played this past weekend, and honestly, they weren't bad. They weren't bad football games at all, and I feel like this is the year that a spring football league will actually work. It's hard to say because last year we had the AAF come into the football landscape and wanting to be something, and I think it lasted only 7 or 8 weeks from a 10-week season. This is going to be different. A lot of people tuned in. A lot of people enjoyed it. There's a lot of new rules that, I mean, they worked. I think the NFL might have to adapt to a few of these, which I'm going to get to right now. The rules that should adapt that worked a lot was, one, the kickoff. The kickoff was different. Everybody's lined up downfield, and you have, like, the kicker, of course, kicking off from the 30 or 35, either one, and you have at least a return from every single, almost every single time. I think there's only two touchbacks called in the entire week of the past 2 days. So it's almost as if this kickoff system might work. Players aren't getting hurt from that full running all head, full steam ahead, going down the field to tackle one guy with the football. Now the runner gets to pick and choose where he wants to run a lane because there's at least four guys you got to beat on one side. So if you're on the left side, you have four guys you can beat right then and there, go out around that side, and there's no one else that needs to touch you besides the kicker. So it's all these formations are different, a lot that can actually save careers because, yeah, I mean, you're not getting that many, like, blows. I mean, there's also always blows to the head when it comes to football, but it's not as a high-impact type of play anymore. So, I mean, the kickoff, I think, is going to work. This is something that I feel like the NFL could adapt here in a few years, possibly. It depends if the XFL is still around. You don't want to, I mean, if the XFL is still around and the NFL wants to adopt that rule, I mean, you're going to have to probably pay the XFL something. But then again, if they end up being a feeder league, which we'll get into a little bit later, it might actually help that way. Another system or rule that could work is, I mean, there was the sky, not the sky judge, but pretty much a sky judge from the AAF. You have them breaking down, say, a play call or something that didn't look right, or even if it's a play that was out of bounds, but it wasn't. It still stayed in, or maybe it's reversing a touchdown, or it works. They have them up in the booth. They're talking with the referee that we can hear on TV at the entire given moment. So it's like we know what they're talking about, and we actually see the big impact of, okay, this guy was down at the 5, but actually he was never down at all, so they're going to give him to the 3. That's the perfect thing. It also is helpful for, and there's no challenges, so they can at least review every single play if needed. So if, say, it's a close first down, or say it's a guy trying to get his foot in bounds in the end zone, because you only need 1 foot in the end zone now, and it almost worked that way. They had to review a touchdown during the defenders and the Seattle this. Defenders and I feel like the Dragons game, and of course he was out of bounds, but they still were able to review it, do it within a timely manner. It worked out that way, so we're not being left alone, say, watching NFL, and okay, they're taking forever looking at a play call that looks given right there, but, or even if it's just nothing, maybe it's another pass interference that they don't get call, or that they end up trying to review it, it still stands. And instead of wasting a challenge, you can just get right to it and say, okay, we'll review that. Okay, boom, nothing happened, or boom, something happened. That's what I loved about the new rules that worked off. I mean, the clock really didn't really matter as a running clock, but it seemed like the clock stopped a lot. I mean, games lasted under 3 hours, which is good. But then again, some people are like, I like my football long. I enjoy that. Give me some scoring plays, and I like it long. But, I mean, the rules worked, those two, the kickoff and the reviewing system, I believe worked out incredibly well. Thing that didn't really work that well, though, is stadiums. The stadiums, of course, in the D.C. and Seattle game, it was full because, one, I mean, it was almost sold out, and two, it was at a soccer stadium. You need to play at a smaller venue stadiums. Looking at the New York game where they were playing at the MetLife Stadium, the bowl up top was not full at all. Like, nobody was up there, but everything at the lower bowl was all full. That's even what happened in the Houston and LA game. Everybody was at the bottom of the bowl, so maybe if they adapt to just playing at smaller venues such as soccer stadiums, that actually might help a lot to make it more intimate for the players, because if you're at a game and you see, oh, it's just the lower bowl, there's more upper deck seating that's completely empty. I mean, I'm not going to say give it some time and the XFL can start selling out full MetLife stadiums. It could actually happen. You just got to give it some time. I mean, it's going to make sense when the St. Louis Battlehawks go play in St. Louis. They'll at least tarp off the upper deck because it's indoors, and you can tell that, and then it'll still feel like an intimate type of playing-wise and more loud state because it's in a stadium, of course, or inside a dome. So if you make these stadiums not smaller, but just go to soccer stadiums that are inside the teams, because Houston Dynamo, you could probably find somewhere in Dallas that has a smaller stadium area. I'm not sure what it worked good at the old Arlington ballpark for the Texas Rangers, but I mean, you could still see the upper deck, and I feel like it's more spacious that way. And I feel like the people who are sitting behind the dugout on the first base side, that's where it would be at, you really can't tell from the field of view because all the players standing up. So that's a little different, and we still haven't seen what Seattle's look like. But, I mean, the defenders hit it out of the park on that one with it being at their soccer stadium there in D.C. So you need to have these stadiums a lot more packed for players to at least feel encouraged about it. But it doesn't mean people didn't watch the game, because there was a lot of people watching it. That's going on to the next thing I want to talk about. The game on ABC averaged 3.3 million viewers, and from 4:45 to 5 p.m. Eastern, it peaked up to 4 million viewers, which is ridiculous for kickoff week. And, of course, you're going to see that happen for the first week, and it's probably going to dwindle down a little bit because people understand what's going on, what they're actually watching. And this was a completely 100% better than the AAF and how they presented the game. There was a lot of social media background onto it. That I'm pretty sure the YouTube is actually hitting it off right now, because the way that Vince McMahon knows and how to work things is, okay, you got to grab them by the throat right here and then shove them media content everywhere. Just keep shoving in that media and content so you can at least fall in love with these players. Do I see these players staying for the long haul or going into the NFL? I mean, some will probably go to the NFL, but you need to adapt that. Okay, we need to adapt the love for this player, because say if it's a P.J. Walker, I'm pretty sure that's what his name is in Houston. Yeah, P.J. Walker, incredible game. Let's see more P.J. Walker stuff from Houston, and we're going to see the fact that, okay, this is the guy we're going to fall in love with, but then again, he actually might go to the NFL in a few years because he's at least decently good. But again, we've only seen him for 1 week, so we actually do not know. But going back into the viewership, top five local markets that was projected: the Seattle-Tacoma area, 6.4, Cleveland, Ohio, 4.6, Columbus, Ohio, 4.5, Kansas City, 4.3, Washington, D.C., 4.0. It's crazy that three of the markets two of them actually have a team, but three of them do not. And the fact that Ohio watched this is kind of impressive, and Kansas City fall alone. But Kansas City is known for that. We're going to watch sports no matter what. Anything that's on TV, we'll just watch it because we are a sports town, even though it seems like there's not much here besides football, baseball, and soccer, which soccer is all the way up in Kansas. I mean, I don't see nothing wrong with, say, the XFL is going to dabble in all these local TV markets of seeing who's all watching what, because if you look at the top five right now, there's no team in Cleveland, there's no team in Columbus, there's no team in Kansas City. You might want to explore the option when expansion comes around, if they're even going to do that still, to put in, say, a team that's in, let's go Columbus, Ohio. They already had the Cleveland Browns. Why don't you just throw an XFL team in Columbus? Cleveland people can go to that team and support them. Or even throw it in Kansas City, because it's on that line of the Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri is off on the, I'm guessing it's on the east side, but Kansas City, Kansas is on the west side. Throw it over in Kansas City, Kansas, where the Sporting Kansas City plays. That's a perfect environment for a football area to have. Okay, the Sporting Kansas City is going to share an XFL team. That's perfect. That's something that you need, because it's a smaller venue. And say Columbus, Ohio, I'm pretty sure they have a soccer team, an MLS team, so they can just throw a team right there. It's all set up and designed to where these local markets who do not have a team, it might help increase expansion from all this viewership. Who knows? It may go down, though, this coming week. It's always good to have your options up. A big cool note that happened was XFL sold many tickets, more tickets, I should say, in its week one than the AAF entire season. They marketed this a lot better than the AAF did. This was XFL hit it out of the park. They really did. I'm going to keep saying that, and I hope I can keep making podcasts about the XFL, because the XFL was really good. It had good quality football. Good players that I'm going to try to keep up on, like, say, Cardale Jones, who had an amazing stiff arm who converted a third down play, and they got a first down out of it. get P.J. Walker, threw 272 yards and four touchdowns. This is a guy that's probably going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league from just seeing from week one, four touchdown passes. If you want to compare it to an AAF season, Garrett Gilbert was probably their MVP. He did not throw four touchdowns in a game. It took one player, one game, the first game of its bringing back the season back to have four touchdowns. P.J. Walker, man, I hope you're good. Jordan Te'amo, I hope he stays good. Even Matt McGloin looked decent in the first half of the game. You already see Aaron Murray not looking great once again. I mean, we saw that in the NFL. We saw that in the AAF. Now we're seeing it now in the XFL, not looking good for him. But there's a person, too, that I feel like could get a second chance and possibly make his way to catapult himself back into the NFL, and that's Sean Oakman, who was charged, like falsely accused of stuff in college where he was pretty much not draftable because teams did not want to take a hit on him. But he had two QB hurries, one sack, one tackle for a loss, and one pass deflection in his opening game. But you want to see these guys make it back to the NFL, and that's the next option going for where I'm going to be talking about. Can the XFL be a feeder league to the NFL? I don't see why it couldn't be. They're already using top cable providers such as ESPN, ABC, and the Fox Sports Network. And this is a great thing. The AAF couldn't be that because they had to use websites, online feeds, and whatnot, so that didn't work at all. But the XFL actually has I would say, an actual television provider where you're going to be able to see these guys in full. You're going to be able to not you can't miss these guys at all. So you got to think, XFL can easily be that feeder team to the NFL. All these teams could have, say, two teams can be going to one team, or four teams could be going to one team. It wouldn't be a bad thing. So say for instance, the Houston Texans, the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to put throwing the Saints in there. Let's even throw Kansas City are all going to be poaching off players from the Dallas Renegades, which could possibly happen. This is a spring league. It's not going on in the regular season. And then say you have those Texans, those Saints, those Cowboys, and those Chiefs, they can send their practice squad players to the Dallas Renegades. I don't see why you couldn't do that and honestly help the players who don't play at all. All they do is practice with the team and get better. Why don't you get better in the spring league? And honestly, it would be kind of cool, too, say if there is a player who's on a practice squad, just wear that helmet for the team. I know other teams will have, like, the players who are not on a practice squad, per se, for a team, they'll wear that team's logo, like logo helmet, like the Dallas Renegades. They'll have that blue helmet with their blue logo on their side of their helmet. But say there's a Chiefs player on there, he'll wear his Chiefs helmet but still wear the Dallas Renegades uniform. I mean, I wouldn't see why you couldn't do that at all, so you know, okay, or even if it's a patch, you can sew on a patch to the player if they, it's like, okay, my jersey's all blue, but I have a Kansas City Chiefs logo on my right pec. You can easily do that to differentiate the players. Like, oh, that guy right there plays the Renegades. You know what? He also plays for the Chiefs, too. So that's kind of cool that they're that little feeder system. Oh, that guy plays for the Cowboys right there. I think this could easily be that feeder league to the NFL that everybody's been wanting for, because the USFL didn't work. The XFL at the beginning did not work because of money issues. The AAF did not work because of money issues. I mean, it wasn't going to work anyways because the fact that Tom Duden pretty much just butchered the league. But they have a plan in the XFL right now that they have at least 2 to 3 years of football. We're going to see 2 to 3 years of XFL football. Will we see the same players on the same teams? Possibly. I mean, we've seen trades already happen, which kind of shocked me for a little bit, because if I'm going back to my AAF type of watching, we didn't see no trades. But you actually see trades in the XFL because players do this, do that. We've seen a firing already happen. They've already let somebody go. This is an organization or an organized league that involves everything, and this is the thing that's closest to the NFL right now. It's not competing with the NFL at all. I'm not saying that at all, but it is at least an organized football league that will work for now. I give it 2 to 3 years. I bet they'll have all the money in the back that Vince McMahon's probably put into it, because people will get behind all these players. Maybe some players, I mean, it'd be nice to be a backup in the quarter and as a backup quarterback in the league, because you know you're on an NFL roster. But do you want to be a backup and get paid league minimum, or do you want to get paid league minimum and actually play? Or they have enough money now to where, all right, say Trevor Lawrence does not want to go back to Clemson. All right, we'll pay him $75 million to come play in the XFL, and he'll easily take it, because this is going to be a league at some point where you can get paid. You can pay people millions of dollars, millions of dollars, millions of dollars. it's the next option. It may be the next option. It may be the next. It may be a feeder league, but it's going to work. This one's going to work. From what we've seen already for the first week, I know it's been 1 week alone. This will work. I want to know from you if you think this will work or if it won't work. I enjoy these spring leagues because it's interesting, it's fun, it's exciting, it's new, and there's at least something that we can watch besides the wait a month or two to watch the NFL Combine, then wait a few more months to watch the NFL Draft. Why don't we have that filler of, okay, we're going to watch Super Bowl, we'll watch the XFL all the way up to the draft. Draft happens. That's when championship week is for the XFL. Maybe some XFL players are trying to make it into the NFL, or maybe they're still eligible for draft eligible. They can be drafted that very next day or something like that to an NFL team. It's all going to work out, and then we just got nothing left. So this, a 10-week schedule for the XFL will work. I don't know. I'm excited. I hope you're excited, too. Go Battlehawks. There's just a lot more stuff going on. And I'm gonna make sure I put a weekly podcast up about the XFL because this is something that I'm excited about and I hope you're excited about too. Let those haters of the spring leagues get out of your way because at some point you keep knocking on the door, but one is going to break through and you're going to be able to watch spring football from here on out for the rest of your life and for years to come. Let's hope it happens. I don't want to get my hopes up too high like I did the AAF, but this one I am. This one I feel like it's going to happen. This is it. The XFL is here. It's going to be here to stay. Fingers crossed on that. Don't quote me, though. Have a good one.